Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Sunday online. It is just so good to have you with us. Isn't it hard to believe that it's almost Christmas, and what an extraordinary year 2020 has been. Today we will be sharing communion, and at this Christmas time, it reminds us that over 2,000 years ago, into a world and a nation that was in political, social, and economic uncertainty, hope broke through. And the Passion City song, Hope Has a Name, says, we didn't see it coming, the story of redemption. What started in a manger ended in an empty tomb. But it didn't just end there. Jesus came, he died, he rose again, and he is coming again for his church. And today we will be celebrating that, and that brings us such hope in what has been such a difficult year. And this year as a church, our Christmas project, we want to bring that hope into our community. And we will be doing that by partnering with a couple of schools to help families over the Christmas period with additional food that they may need. And you can be part of that too. You can be part of bringing hope and Jesus into our community this Christmas. And you can do that by giving, and you can donate to our church bank account. The details will come up on the screen. Or you can put an envelope into the offering marked Christmas Appeal. You can also donate some food items, and a list of those items will be on our social media platforms later today. We would love you to join us this year, this Christmas, in bringing hope to our community. So today, I hope you enjoy the service. We are going to go into a time of worship, and I hope that you have a brilliant Sunday.
Much deeper within. fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
You have led me through the fire and the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Good morning, East Point Church, and welcome to the Lord's Table. There's a wee chorus that came to my mind just this week that I used to sing when I was first saved. And the words are, Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Helen's just going to read from Luke 22, verses 14 to 16.
When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
The circumstances are similar for us today. Like the apostles, we can come to the table and break bread and drink from the cup. The apostles didn't know or fully understand what was about to become of Jesus, his suffering and death on the cross. And we didn't know what was around the corner at the start of 2020 with COVID-19. But God says in his word in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. As Helen read, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. This gives us an indication of how relaxed the apostles were in the company of Jesus. As we come around the Lord's table, let us put all our anxieties and worries to one side. Relax a while in the company of Jesus, our Saviour, even though we do not understand all that is going on around us in the world today. Let us just come around the table. Helen's going to read.
And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this table, Lord. We thank you for your table that you have prepared for us, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Father, that your blessing will be upon us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Church, Advent is such a season of hope. And if there was ever a year that people needed hope, it is this year. This has been one roller coaster of a year. And in the middle of all the humour about our bins being out more than we have been out, we've had a year of fear, a year of confusion, a year of closures and opening up to be closed again. It's been a year that has just been awful, especially for those families that have been impacted by COVID-19. Those that have gone through the long journey of getting well and those who unfortunately have lost their lives, and for their families that our hearts go out to today, especially those who haven't been able to say goodbye to their loved ones at the end or even to give them a proper burial. This has been a year that has just been terrible throughout our world. This pandemic has impacted everybody. It has impacted the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the weak and the strong. But news broke this week that the virus has been challenged by the fact that Pfizer vaccine has been accepted for use here in the UK, and it's already apparently on our shores for use. Now people are hoping for this to work in their lives. They're hoping that this completely new vaccine will be the very thing that will make a difference, hoping it will be okay, hoping it will be safe, hoping that there will be no side effects, hoping that it will be rolled out properly and the people that need it most will get it. When we talk about hope, we normally talk in ordinary circumstances that this is optimism, really. And if you want to define optimism, it can be defined this way online. Optimism is an attitude reflecting a belief or a hope that the outcome of some specific endeavor or outcome of something general will be positive, favorable, and desirable. But you know, Christian hope is much different. It's fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ, a promise that was fulfilled from a way back in creation when it was given. Biblical hope is not based on circumstances being favorable, but biblical hope is based on the character of our God, who shows us favor and wants to show favor to our world. You know, in the Old Testament, there are two Hebrew words that describe hope. The first one means to wait. And the second word describes the anticipation and expectation with the tension as you wait on the Lord God Almighty. In the book of Hebrews, we see this played out, and we see that there's a great connection for the believer and hope with their faith. Hope and faith go hand in hand. Hebrews 11:1 says this: "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Let me read that again. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And the writer of the Hebrews illustrates this through the Old Testament characters. For example, Noah. God tells Noah to build an ark because there was going to be a worldwide flood and it was going to bring destruction and judgment upon people. And there was definitely tension for Noah as he waited on God doing what he was doing in his circumstances. People didn't take his message well. People ignored him. People couldn't get it. They hadn't seen a flood before, never mind rain. And even as the rain came, Noah and his family, after all that misunderstanding and scorn from people, bore that ark, the ark of their salvation. And in that time, they have to wait for God to do his will, and for them to come through their troubled waters to a place of rest and peace and new life again. Father Abraham, by faith made his home in the promised land. He was promised by God that he would have descendants that would number the stars in the sky, that his children would be as many as the grains of sand. Abraham was 75 years of age when he was made that promise by God, and it took to he was 125 years later for that promise to be fulfilled within his life. His dear wife Sarah was in her 90s when this happened to her. Hebrews 11:11 tells us this: "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." Considered him faithful who had made the promise. If we were to flick back a chapter into chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, we would read about the perseverance of faith of a people who, in their circumstance, had faced an awful lot of persecution because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Enduring suffering for their faith, public insult and humiliation, persecution, and even confiscation of their property. And yet we're told by the writer that they did this joyfully because they knew that there were greater possessions yet to come for them in the glory. The hope of the tension of waiting in those difficult, challenging days was not based on their circumstance, but was based on the character of the one they loved. Hebrews 10:23 says this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful." These men and women of old had hope even in their extreme circumstances, knowing that he who promised was faithful. They knew that their relationship with their God, that he would see them through, because he had never ever let them down before, and he was promising them, was faithful towards them, and he would see them through. He never let them down. And church, if you think about it today, he has never let us down either. You know, the Apostle Peter, in his first letter in chapter 1, summarizes our hope as for New Testament believers. In verse 3, he writes this: "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all that this you greatly rejoice. Now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trial. These have come so that you will prove genuine in your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed through you. Him that you have not seen, you love him, even though you do not see him now. You believe in him, are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you have received the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In the promise of his birth, death, and resurrection, we have hope, we have salvation, and we know we've better days to come. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has promised for those that love him. Our circumstances today may not be favorable. We know as Christians that we will face trouble, but we know we are promised a better day. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. Friends, we are going to a better place of great hope, of great promise, because of the one who has promised and the one who is faithful. Verse 3 again says, "Praise be to God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." At East Point, we have taught you that you are present carriers. And just as Mary carried the Lord Jesus Christ in her womb for that promise to come to fruition, so you and I today carry this hope in us. He is the living hope, and he abides and lives in us, and we carry him wherever we go, in every situation and in every circumstance that we face. The Apostle Paul, or Peter, continued in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 with this exhortation: "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give the reason of the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Be able to give a reason for the hope that you have. You know, in this Advent season of goodwill and cheer, a time when we look to give gifts because Jesus was given, became a gift to us and was given gifts at his birth, so we give gifts to others. But at this time, let's give the gift of hope to those that are around about us. We can give hope to those that we rub shoulders with. And we can do that by displaying in our very innermost being, in the midst of these troubled times, that quiet confidence, knowing that our God, he who has promised is faithful, and he who has promised will see us through. He who has promised will give us better days ahead. We know we look forward to those days when we will see him face to face. the one who has never let us down and won't let us down because of the power of his resurrection. So we can display our hope within our spirit. We can also declare. Remember the scripture from 1 Peter 3 and 15 is encouraging us when we're asked to give the reason for the hope that is within us. He is the reason for this season. And we want to be able to say to people around about us how faithful our God has been. And that we know he has never let us down. Every time he promises something, he fulfills it. And we know that he was born to die. And through his death and his resurrection, through the power that he has given to us, through the freedom of our lives because he has forgiven us of our sins, that we know that he is the answer in our lives and the reason why we can sail through these stormy waters, because we know he abides in us and he's on our boat. Friends, let's point people to the glory of our God, to his greatness, to his power, to his love, and to his heart for men and women. Let's declare his hope to all who will hear us. And in this season as well, not only do we want to display hope and declare hope, but friends, we want also to distribute hope. He gave freely and we freely give. He gave his life for us. And over the weekend of the 18th, we want as a church just to give wee bags of blessing, of hope towards people. Hope that will, parcels that we will give out for food to our community, to allow them to see that there is a God in heaven who still cares, who still loves and uses his people to display that hope, that living hope that is in us. As he has given freely, so we freely give to honour his name. Maybe today, loved one, not only are you facing this awful year with this awful virus, but maybe you've a lot of other things going on in your life today as well. And today you're finding it extremely hard to be able to muster up any sense of hope within you. Can I just encourage you now? And I'm going to ask you to take a moment and just with me as we pause, think over your life. Think back over all that the Lord has brought you through already and ask yourself this question. Has he who has promised that is faithful ever let you down? Take that moment to consider. And as you do and consider your blessings, today let hope arise in you before we finish by just reading God's word. And by praying, let's take a moment. Friends, may hope arise. Romans 15 and 13 says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for the East Point Church family. I pray for everyone who has tuned in today that they would realize that you are our hope. May they be filled with joy and peace and the hope because of the resurrection through the power of your Holy Spirit. And may they know that there are yet better days to come because of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our lovely Lord Jesus. He who has promised is always faithful. May the Lord bless you, church. Amen.